Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya. Naram chaiva narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udhirayet Nashta Praeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Tyuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Srimad Bhagavatam, Skanda 1, Adhyaya 7, Shloka 35. There's no marker, so bear with me for a moment. 334. I'm on 333. Got it. Mainam parthahasi tatum. Excuse me. Mainam parthahasi tratum. Brahma bandhum imam jahi. Yo savanagas sup. Tasau. Yo savana gapta sutan.
Yo savana sutan.
Avidhin nishibhalakan. Mainam partar hasi tratum. Brahma bandhum imam jahi yauso anagasha sapsuptan avadhin nishibhalakan mainam parthahasi tratum brahma bandhum imam jahi Yo savanagas saptutan Tini shibhalakan
Mainam parthahasi
tratum Brahma bandhum imam jahi Yo savanagas saptutan Avadhini Shivalakan Mainam Parthahasi Tratum Brahma Bandhum Imam Jahi Yosavanagasa Suptan Avadhini Shivalakan Mainam parthahasi tratum Brahma bandhum imam jahi Yo savanaga suptan Avadhini shibhalakan Ladies? Oh, okay. Mainam parthahasi tratum Brahma bandhum imam jahi Yo savanaga sapsuptan Ladies, mainam partharasi tratum brahma bandhum imam jahi yo savanagasa saptan avadhin nishibalakan mainam partharasi tratum brahma bandhum imam jahi yo savanagasa suptan avadhin nishibalakan mainam partharhasi chatum brahma bandhum imam jahi yo savanagasa suptan avadhin nishibalakan mainam partharasi tratum brahma bandhum imam jahi yo savanagasa suptan avadhin nishibalakan padapataha. Oh, you never heard that before? Padapataha. Reading the words. Reading pada, word, pataha, reading. Mamenam. Never unto him. Partha. O Arjuna. Arhasi. Ought to. Tratum. Give release. Brahma bandhum. A relative of a Brahmana. Imam, him, jahi, kill, yaha, he who has, asau, those, anagasaha, faultless, suptan, while sleeping, avadhit, killed, nishi, at night, Balakan, the boys. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Sri Krishna said, O Arjuna, you should not show mercy by releasing this relative of a Brahmana, Brahma Bandhu, for he has killed innocent boys in their sleep. Purport. The word Brahma Bandhu is significant. A person who happens to take birth in the family of a Brahmana, but is not qualified to be called a Brahmana, is addressed as the relative of a Brahmana and not as a Brahmana. The son of a high court judge is not virtually a high court judge, but there is no harm in addressing a high court judge's son as the relative of the Honorable Justice. Therefore, as by birth, only one does not become a high court judge, so also one does not become a Brahmana simply by birthright, but by acquiring the necessary qualifications of a Brahmana. As the high court judgeship is a post for the qualified man, so also the post of a Brahmana is attainable by qualification only. The Shastra enjoins that if good qualifications are seen in a person born in a family other than that of a Brahmana, the qualified man has to be accepted as a Brahmana. And similarly, if a person born in the family of a Brahmana is void of Brahminical qualification, then he must be treated as a non-Brahmana, or in better terms, the relative of a Brahmana. Lord Sri Krishna, the supreme authority of all religious principles, the Vedas, has personally pointed out these differences, and he is about to explain the reason for this in the following shlokas. So, you ever heard of the Boston Brahmins? You heard? So, in the world of the Westerners, in the world of the Malechas and Yavanas, there's a caste system in India. And that concept, and that's also very common in India, that you are born a Brahmin. If you're born in a Brahmin family, you're a Brahmin. Prabhupada didn't accept that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't accept that. There are others in India who don't accept that. You know who they are? Is it okay, interactive? You don't mind? Does anyone know who else in India doesn't accept, as far as institutional level, not individual level, very famous, two other groups? Can anybody say? But you're not from India, so I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. The Rashtriya Swayamsevak Sangh, you've heard of them? They're ruling India in the form of the BJP. Rashtriya Swayamsevak Sangh here is called the Hindu Swayamsevak Sangh. The national Hindu nationalists, right? That's what they're known as. So they don't believe it's Brahmin by birth. And the Arya Samaj, you've heard of the Arya Samaj? They don't believe it's Brahmin by birth. The caste Goswamis, there are caste Goswamis, wow, in Bengal and in Gujarat, Rajasthan, many places in India. The son of the Goswami is a Goswami. And the son of the daughter of a Goswami in the Vallabh Sampradaya, you know what they're called? Somebody here, you're Indian, right? No, you're not. I'm sorry. Look, you can enter the Puri temple. Yeah, we can't. It's based on skin color. They're called Lalji's. You ever heard that? You ever heard that before? The son of a Goswami is called a Goswami, but the son of the daughter of the Goswami, the grandson, the daughter's son is not a Goswami. He's a Lalji. This is all concocted. It's all concocted. In the Vedas describe Varnashram Dharma, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. In the Purusha Sukta, right? What is it? Brahmano osya mukham asit. The Brahmanas came from the face of the Purusha. Bahura janyakritaha. And the Purusha made, Kritaha did, Bahu from the arms, Rajanyaha, the kings. Uru tadasya yadvaishyaha. And from the stomach came the Vaishyas. Padbhyam ghum shudro ajayata. And from the legs came the Shudras. But there are family traditions, right? There's no Gita here. But anyway, what I remember, Kula dharmascha shashvataha, right? I need a little aid sometimes. Arjuna was arguing with Krishna that if I kill my relatives, we'll spoil the family tradition. And the family traditions are eternal. I'm on the wrong chapter. Yeah, it's 140 exactly. 41 is Sankaro Narakayeva Kulagnanam Kulasya Cha Patanti Pitaro Hesham Luptapindo Daka Kriyaha. The next one. Doshayar etaih kulagnanam varna sankara karakaihi utsadhyante jati dharma kula dharmascha shashvataha. Shashvata Here it's translated eternal. Shashvata, ashashvata. Kula dharma, kula, guru kula, right? Kula guru, have you heard kula guru? The family guru. Who is the kuru guru of Vasudeva and Devaki, Gargamuni, kula guru. Every family has a guru. And the family, kula dharma, the dharma of the family. So the different kshatriyas, the panchalakshanas and the dashalakshanas of the Puranas is, what is that? Vansha, vanshanu charita, description of the lineages of kings. And the kings had, Yudhishthir had a kula guru, right? Domya. So like that, there are two arguments here. There are two arguments. One is the tradition. Arjuna is arguing with Krishna in the first chapter that the kula dharma, our dharma of our family, is eternal. So if someone is from a Brahmana family, it may be argued that that is the dharma of the family. Right? And if we, because the standard, what is a Brahmana? That is the first question. What is a Brahmana? We got the Yajnopavit. So we respect those who have the Yajnopavit as a Brahmana. Yajnopavitam paramam pavitram. It's the most sacred thing, sacred thread. What is the reason why the sacred thread is given traditionally in Vedic culture? Interactive?
You can qualify to worship Brahman. You qualify to worship Brahman.
Anyone else want to try? When a Upanayana Sanskara is given, supposed to be given at the age of 8. Yeah, 8. Why? Yeah. Well, Upanayanam, coming closer, yeah. No, but there's a reason. Wow. Of course, what you're saying is not incorrect. We want to revive Vedic culture, right? We have the dress, we have the tilak, we have the names, but there's something else, Vedic education. The Vedic educational syllabus. And it starts with the Upanayanam, correct? I'm not wrong. And what happens after Upanayanam? We don't have that tradition, but we're supposed to. It's called Vedadhyayanam, study of Vedas. And that system is extant in India. Its system is extant. It has not died. And it's followed by some Brahmanas. Actually, the system was Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. All of them had to study Vedas. And what this is described when Krishna and Balaram went to Sandipani. What did they study? Not only the 64 arts. The 64 arts are there. But they heard the Veda mantras from Sandipani. And what was the interesting thing? They heard the mantras only once and memorized them. That's not what an ordinary boy who goes to a gurukul can do. Because they were avatars. They're Vishnu. But for an ordinary jiva who took a birth in a Brahmana, Kshatriya or Vaishya family, they're supposed to study Vedas. Memorize one Veda. And in India, you have these names, right? Dvivedi, Trivedi, Chaturvedi. You've heard this. Every Brahmana is not Dvivedi. There are different names for Brahmanas. Joshi, Bhattacharya. Mukherjee is Mukhya Upadhyay. Banerjee, Vandya Upadhyay. Upadhyaya is a Brahmana. Vandya is one who is respected. So, Brahmana was somebody who studied Vedas in the childhood. And later on, they used those mantras to perform sacrifices or Vedic rituals, right? You have, here's a board right here. We do all of the rituals. In those rituals, you have to have Veda mantras. And those Veda mantras, it's like data entry. You should memorize them. And they're doing it. I have seen thousands, not 2, 3, 4. Thousands of Brahmanas are there. Now, Prabhupada criticized. Parrot-like recitation, right? That's the criticism. They're only reciting like parrots. Hey, guess what? Some people do know the language. Some people do know. They should know. It's a lacuna that they don't know. It's a lacuna. Now, the logic is like this. You changed your dress, you changed your food, and we Mlechas and Yavanas, we changed our religion. And some of us changed our place of residence. Vaivan Swabas and I are from the same place. But we changed our residence. Excuse me for using your name, Prabhu. But it's true. Why can't you change your language? It's possible. And if you don't want parrot-like recitation, you have to learn the language. The language of the Vedas. Krishna spoke the Gita in what language? Think about it. Kadachit bhavishyakale asya pravachanam samskrita bhashayam bhavishyati. Sometime in the future, this lecture will be in Sanskrit. That's what I said. So, Brahma Bandhu. Yeah, Ashwatthama is called a Brahma Bandhu because he killed these boys in the sleep. This is Lord Krishna's own words, according to Vyasadeva. Right? It's like the Gita is from Vyasadeva, the Bhagavad is from Vyasadeva. And Krishna called Ashwatthama a Brahma Bandhu. Not a real Brahmana. Even though we believe, you might have heard that there's a city next to Delhi, Gurgaon. And they changed the name now back to the original Gurugram. Why is it the village of the Guru? Because Dronacharya was living there and he taught the Pandavas and the Kauravas. And we, when we associate the name of Dronacharya, we think of a great warrior. But he was a Brahmin. He must have taught them the Vedas also besides the Dhanurveda. Dhanuhu, bow. Dhanuhu. Dhanurveda, the science, military science. So all these sciences were there. So Brahma Bandhu. So it's a dishonor to be called a Brahma Bandhu. First you have to get to Brahmana. Boy, I lost the link. To be a Brahman, you would have had to study Vedas. And in Gita, it says like that in so many places, right? Swadhyaya bhyasanam chaiva. Boy, I'm forgetting the other ones. Om ityekaksharam brahma. There are many, because the whole Vedic culture, when we use the word Vedic culture, it rests on Vedas. And if you go into Vedas, Varnashram. So that whole system started right from the beginning of creation. But then in Kali Yuga, this first chapter of Bhagavatam, it mentions each different Veda was given to a different Rishi. Right? And then there was a parampara. There was a system, a link. Guru Shishya, we call it. Disciple, guru and disciple. Then the disciple becomes the guru. And the brahmanas are the gurus of society. And every brahmana, that was the tradition, every brahmana who studied Vedas would give the Gayatri mantra to a qualified boy. And the qualified boys were supposed to come from the higher castes. So there's a story in the Chandogya Upanishad. Satyakam Jabala. Prabhupada told the story. Satyakam was the name of a boy. He came to Gautama. Brahmacharya Vivatsyami. I want to undergo Brahmacharya. But Brahmacharya, undergoing Brahmacharya means study of the Vedas. Memorization of Veda mantras. So then he said, what gotra do you belong to? What is your lineage? So he said, I don't know. So go ask your father, what is your gotra? So I don't have a father. So go ask your mother. Okay. Then he went to his mother. Right? So the words that his mother used, Yovane Paricharyam. Paricharya, you've heard this? Not everybody. Paricharyatmakam karma shudras chapi swabhavajam. Paricharya, serving others. Pari, other. Charya, following. Paricharyatmakam. It's innate. Innate quality of serving others. Karma, activity. Paricharyatmakam karma shudras chapi swabhavajam. Born of their nature. Right? This is in the 8th chapter? 8th? Is it? Paricharyatmakam karma shudras chapi swabhavajam. Okay. 18th chapter. So, shudra karma. What is a shudra? Somebody who serves others. So, in the Chandogya Upanishad says, Yovane Paricharyam. In my youth, I served others. So there are two interpretations. Prabhupada quoted the interpretation that she was a prostitute and she didn't know who her husband was. That type of service. Can't say, actually, from those words, Yovane, in my youth, paricharya, I served others. There's other interpretation, right? The other interpretation is that she was a brahmana and the husband passed away. She didn't know what gotra she belonged to. That's a bit of a stretch also, because if the husband left his body after having a child, theoretically she would be living with the husband's relatives. That was the system. So she would have, but it's lost in antiquity. But anyway, when he came back and told the story to Gotama, you are a brahmana because you're telling the truth. What? I don't know what is my gotra. My mother doesn't know. So the point being that you may be from a shudra family or you may be the son of a prostitute, we don't know. But if you're sincere, honest, if you have the good qualities, wow. When Prabhupada came to Hyderabad in December 1976, he brought two people with him from Delhi. One was Tejas, who had a degree in agriculture. So he removed him as the president of Delhi and he said, you know, develop this. There was 565-acre donation for a farm. And he brought one other boy, whose name I won't mention, who was a misbehaved Gurukul student. So Prabhupada said, if you can't study in the Gurukul, work on the farm. So he personally brought him. Of course, he didn't remain on the farm. That's another story. So we say, Gita says, guna karma vibhagashaha. The division is by gunas and karmas. Guna, what does it mean? Qualities. So the quality of a Brahman is also in Gita. Shama, Dama, Tapa, Socham, Shantir, Arjava, Mevacha. Shama, Dama, control of the mind and senses. What is it? A mental equilibrium. One who can control his mind. Tapaha, austerity. Socham, cleanliness. You know, in this country, it's very common. People, you know, lick their fingers. We have devotees, I know, I don't want to say in India, who chew their nails. Putting your hand in your mouth is contaminated, but who knows that here? You know, in a public place, you put your hand, it's probably contaminated. Wow, after urinating, you have to wash your hand, your genital, and your feet. Who does that? Who does that? And that's why Brahmanas lived on the bank of rivers, like the Ganga, Yamuna, Narmada, Kaveri, Godavari, so that they could take a bath two or three times a day. It would be easy. So this type of socham, what is socham? My younger brother passed away last year. It wasn't a shock because he was a sick person. And his last rites were performed by, you know, a priest from the religion we were born in. And that priest, I didn't attend those last rites, but later on the priest wanted to meet me. And so we had a discussion with that fellow. And I said, what do you do after defecation? Oh, I wash my hands. You know, this is a priest, right? And I'm sure, so what is a Brahmana? Samadama tapasocham shantir. Shanti is supposed to be peaceful. Arjavam, truthfulness. And other good qualities, evacha. Jnana vijnana. When you say jnana, what does it mean? Knowledge. What does knowledge mean? An old man with a long beard? That's one projection. Oh, he must be knowledgeable. No, that's not the standard of knowledge. Jnana means you studied the Vedic literature. Okay, you couldn't study Veda, Mahabharata, Ramayana, the Puranas. There are Brahmanas in India who memorized whole Bhagavatam, for instance, or whole Mahabharata also. Such learned people. So jnana vijnana, applying that knowledge in everyday life. Astikyam, religiosity, theism. Astika is a theist. Nastika, atheist. It's very simple. Asti is, nasti is not. Astikyam, Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Everything is controlled by Ishvara. Nastika, no. Wow, this is a big subject. So Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra is Vedic culture. It's not a caste system in the sense that you can only, you are by birth committed to the particular guna, and I mean, it's actually, what is it? Varna. The varna is not by janma, we say. And there's a lot of people who, learned scholars, who believe that. Same time, people think, common thinking in India, I'm from a Brahmin family, I'm a Brahmin. One Brahmin came to us in the old days, right? So I'm a Brahmin. Started reciting Veda mantras. Then we say, well, what do you do? He said, I'm a mechanic in the jute mill. So, a Brahmana has certain principles, right? He won't take remuneration. A Brahmana, the moment you take a salary, you're serving someone else, paricharyatmakam karma. Like a businessman, he won't take a salary. The salary is meant for a servant, for a shudra. Kshatriya also is independent. They're given wealth. That was the old system. Now the old system has been abolished. Westernization? No, Malachization is the real way to describe it. The old system. So the idea was to revive the old system, Prabhupada's idea. Make propaganda, distribute books. Distribute books to what? To revive that old system. to teach. That's the aim. It's a struggle that who can say whether it'll be won or not. It's not looking so, you know, winnable at the moment. And that's because the world is overwhelmed with viparita vicharaha, the opposite view. Nastika view, the atheistic view. There is no Ishwara. So, swechachar, behave like you want. So that's the royal road to hell, Prabhupada said. Royal road to hell. If you follow the Vedic system, you get gradual elevation. If you follow the Vedic system. So in Vedic system, there's worship of devatas, demigods. Boy, brahmanas perform different sacrifices to please these different devatas. Right? And in the Gita, it's also written. Yanti deva vrata devan or traimam somapav putapapa, but that's meant for elevation to Indra Swarga, to the planet of Indra. Back to the story. I got away from the story. So Ashwatthama. Here, he killed in the night, Krishna condemned him. Mahabharata, it says that Lord Shiva entered his body. That's how he got the power to kill all the sleeping soldiers. He didn't just kill the five sons of Draupadi. Thousands he killed. That's Mahabharata. And Mahabharata described, after the war, the war was over. Duryodhana was dying. So the whole war was to satisfy Duryodhana. So at that time, who mentioned, Maharaj, I think you mentioned the day before yesterday, was it you? That Duryodhana was not happy when Ashwatthama went to him. It's in the Bhagavatam and the Mahabharata also. Ashwatthama went to Duryodhana. Duryodhana was lying with his limbs broken, dying. And Ashwatthama, I have killed so many of the Pandavas. And he was disgusted. Duryodhana was disgusted when he heard that. So Ashwatthama is still alive, we believe. He's one of the Chiranjeevis. He must have been reformed. Or he became a nimitta for destroying so many soldiers on the battlefield. But here he's condemned by Krishna, Brahma Bandhu. He killed these sleeping boys. So Vedic system of fighting is also not observed today. Vedic system of fighting is face to face. Although there were chariot warriors, elephant warriors, horse, cavalry, and then foot soldiers. That's an advantage and a disadvantage, it looks like. But no civilians, what do they call it today? Collateral damage. There was no collateral damage. Only warriors, no one else. The old people, the women, the children, they were not involved in the fighting. The whole destruction of the kings, they blame it on Lord Krishna. It was his will. He desired, right? And that's in the Gita. The famous verse, Tasmad tvamutishta yasho labhasva jitva shatrun bhungshva rajyam samriddham te evaite nihita purva eva. I have already killed them. Nimitta matra bhava savyasachin. O Arjuna, savyasachi, you become my instrument. They're already killed. Right? Uttasmad, therefore, get up. Why are you despondent? Tasmad tvam uttishta yasho labhasva. Yashaha, fame. Labhasva, you obtain fame. Tasmad tvam uttishta yasho labhasva jitva shatrum. Conquer your enemies. Bhunkshva, enjoy. Rajam samriddham. The kingdom that is full of opulences. Te evaite nihita purvameva. I already killed them. And how many he killed? 18 akshauhinis. I'm not good in mathematics, but millions and millions were killed. So what was a few thousand that Ashwatthama killed after millions and millions? That was the will of the Lord, and yet he condemned him. It's difficult to understand sometimes. All you can say is will of Krishna. That supreme will. So this Vedic system is Krishna's will. Varnashram is Krishna's will. And Prabhupada's comment that birth alone is not the qualification. Birth in a Brahmin family is not the qualification is true. It's true. One should not falsely claim. Time is up. You want to leave some time for questions or no time? Pardon? Acha. Okay. Okay. Hare Krishna. I made the points.
Hare Krishna. We're just going to spend a couple of minutes. Anybody have a question? Thank you for a wonderful class, Vashi Ghosh Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Wonderful.
Maharaj wants to make a comment? Sure. If it's allowed by the authorities.
Thank you very much for a wonderful class and giving us a lot of insights into a lot of knowledge that we normally don't access or come in contact with, which you do because you've been living in India and managing temples and talking to these types of people. So that's kind of a bonus for us today. So we offer our thanks for that. What I wanted to mention is that you just said that Krishna obviously authorized the killing of the hundreds who were in the barracks there when Ashwatthama went through. I mean, it was like what we call a mass murder, mass killing. Pardon me if I misinterpreted what you said. You were saying, "What? I mean, who can understand that as if that was something maybe not so good or not so blessed to just be killed in that manner that they were killed?" But on the other hand, we have to think that being killed, if you've been living a very virtuous and very devotional life, as they were on the Pandava side, so they had some good benediction right then and there, and the association, of course, Krishna was there, although he wasn't fighting. So it's not such a terrible thing to be killed, whether it's murdered. But if it's, that's what's happening, and you have all these qualities and qualifications to go back home, back to Godhead, I think that's a good thing. In other words, you can go right home, and you don't have to make any special efforts. So, in fact, it was mentioned that all those who are with Krishna, around Krishna, who were viewed by Krishna and were killed, they had a benediction. They went right home.
Right, right. Agreed.
So we just want to spend just a few moments remembering Jayananda Prabhu. Today is his disappearance day, so we have some things that I can read to remember Jayananda Prabhu. And I'll just get into it. So I'm just going to give a brief history of Jayananda, then I want to just kind of highlight different things of his nature, his service attitude, his relationship with Srila Prabhupada, things of that nature. Just maybe 10 minutes or so.
Right. Jayananda's beginning in Krishna consciousness. Jayananda was an all-American boy, handsome, strong, intelligent, born in more than middle-class family.
Jayananda took a degree in mechanical engineering from Ohio State University. With a background like that, it is surprising that Jayananda ended up as a cab driver in San Francisco. Karandar once asked him why he didn't get a better paying job. His answer was, "I didn't fit in with the upper class crowd," he said. Always introspective in nature, Jayananda felt empty and unsatisfied within himself during his college years. He would often say that he was never happy before joining Krishna consciousness. His depression was almost suicidal when in 1967 he read a small article in a San Francisco paper about an Indian Swami who had come to the Bay Area to propagate the chanting of the names of God. Jayananda recalled feeling a ray of hope when he read that article. Thinking the Swami may have something to offer, Jayananda made up his mind to attend the Swami's lectures. Srila Prabhupada's early lectures in the Bay Area were mostly attended by hippies, and Jayananda was one of the only straight people there. Jayananda later recalled that, "I wasn't much of a religionist, but I was attracted to Srila Prabhupada. He was especially fond of attending the early morning lectures because at that hour, most of the hippies would be in bed. On some occasions, Jayananda would be the only guest listening to Srila Prabhupada speak from the Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada was always fond of Jayananda, and sometimes he would invite the budding disciple to take prasad with him in his room. Srila Prabhupada would cook prasad and serve me," Jayananda recalled. "He didn't say anything. He just kept feeding me, and I kept eating." Jayananda soon donated his life savings of $5,000 to Srila Prabhupada to help his divine grace print the Bhagavad Gita as it is. As more and more devotees joined ISKCON in the Bay Area, Jayananda continued to work as a cab driver and supported the temple by contributing all of his earnings. So, go to another section. A little something about his preaching desires. Of all the processes of Krishna consciousness, Jayananda was most attached to preaching, whether it was during the Sunday feast, while making incense runs, or while building Rathyatra carts. Jayananda was always trying to find some person with whom he could share his ecstasy in Krishna consciousness. His preaching was very simple and easy to listen to. "We just have to keep chanting and have faith in the name," Jayananda said. "We just have to chant and take prasadam. Srila Prabhupada is so kind to give us such a simple process." End of quote. Karandar remembers how Jayananda preached to him on his first day in the temple. As they worked together preparing a little garden for Srila Prabhupada at the old Los Angeles temple, Jayananda said, quote, "You know, things don't always go just right in Krishna consciousness. You have to keep chanting." End of quote. At that time, Karandar couldn't imagine how anything could go wrong in Krishna's service. Years later, however, as he found himself still remembering those words, Karandar could appreciate the real potency of what Jayananda had said. Quote, "So many things may come and go. Just have faith in the holy name." His service attitude. Jayananda was always ready to do whatever was necessary to push on Krishna consciousness. He was expert at everything: cooking, preaching, deity worship, public relations, sankirtan, selling incense, construction, and everything else it takes to run a temple. He was a tireless worker. He would be the first one up in the morning and the last one to sleep at night. It was Jayananda who always running out to get the flowers. Jayananda who was washing dishes and making sure the kitchen was clean. Jayananda who was often missing class while he was out doing service. And Jayananda who was always encouraging others to go out and preach and setting the example himself. Whatever assignment he was given, he would always get done, even if he had to suffer personally for it. No matter how hard he was working, he would never stop for a nap during the day. He seemed to be inexhaustible. Dear to everyone, many devotees, including Dhanavir and Chandan Acharya, had the experience of taking over Jayananda's old territory on incense-selling runs or boga runs. They would meet people who said such things as, quote, "Where's Johnny Ananda?" Or, quote, "That man, he's the nicest and most pure man I've ever met," end of quote. One man told Chandan Acharya, "Well, I don't know much about your philosophy, but if that Jayananda is into it, it must be all right. Once near the Rathiatra cart site, Jainanda invited Keshava to step inside a bar and meet some friends of his. They walked inside and immediately some 25 faces looked up and smiled brightly. Someone said, quote, "Oh, this must be your friend you were telling us about, the temple president," end of quote. They presented the two devotees with a sack of full vegetarian groceries, which they had chipped in together to buy. This is in a bar. Among the devotees, Jainanda was like a big brother, always compassionate and willing to listen to them. But devotees rarely burdened him with their problems. "When you were around Jainanda," said Karanda, "you had no problems." The devotees loved Jainanda and talked about him during long drives on traveling Sankirtan. He was dear to them because he had a sense of humor, too. Jambavam recalls being awakened one night at midnight by Jainanda. "Wake up," said Jainanda. "I've got a benediction for you." He then pushed a big samosa into the sleepy Jambavan's mouth.
I'll leave one more little caption.
So Jainanda, the king of Rathiatra. Jainanda was the backbone of the Bay Area Rathiatra for years, and his experiences at each one are summarized in the 1977 Rathiatra edition of Bhakti Godhead magazine. Behind the scenes, Jainanda was always doing everything in preparation for each festival. He would beg food, flowers, and funds, buy materials, and build the carts, advertise, arrange for permits, and organize the cooking and serving of prasad. Although things always went right down to the wire, he would consistently succeed in fulfilling all his plans every year. After the festival, Jainanda personally brought a prasadam cake or pie to each and every person who had helped in some way or another. Because of his efforts, the devotees in the Bay Area enjoy to this day an amazingly harmonious relationship with the city officials.
So, last one. Jainanda's relationship with Srila Prabhupada.
Jainanda said of Srila Prabhupada, "I knew he didn't want to cheat me, so I wanted to work for him." In his dealings with Srila Prabhupada, Jainanda kept his usual low profile. He was generally off working on some project when Srila Prabhupada came to San Francisco. Their relationship was therefore, as Karanda describes it, one of old friends, or very economical. That is to say, Jainanda did not go in for long meetings with Srila Prabhupada, even when all the other temple leaders were doing so. By way of reciprocation, Srila Prabhupada would invariably call for Jainanda when he arrived in the temple. Sometimes he would have to make repeated requests, and when Jainanda was finally located, he would resist, saying, "No, I can't go see him. I'm too dirty. I'm too fallen," end of quote. He'd work after festivals and let others see Srila Prabhupada. Thus, Jainanda's relationship with Prabhupada was always one of service. Service to Prabhupada was the core of Jainanda's life. Once, Dhanavir asked him, "How does one make spiritual advancement in Krishna consciousness?" Jainanda answered, "I don't know. I'm too busy working to think about it," end of quote. Srila Prabhupada always appreciated Jainanda's sincere service. He wrote to Jainanda in December of 1975. This is the letter. "I was very happy to get your recent letter. I am always thinking of you and praying to Krishna for your advancement in Krishna consciousness. Yes, I remember the old days in San Francisco. Krishna has been so kind upon me to have sent so many sincere disciples to help me push on this movement on behalf of my Guru Maharaj. You continue with your program there in San Francisco, always strictly keeping our principles, and Krishna will bless you with greater and greater realization of the importance of this movement. I am dependent upon you, my older disciples, to carry it on. I hope this meets you well," end of quote. Jainanda's final meeting with Srila Prabhupada took place in New York City in the 1976 Rathiatra. When Prabhupada arrived at the airport, Jainanda drove the car to pick him up. Prabhupada was sitting in the back seat and he asked, "Who is driving?" The devotee said, "This is Jayananda." "Oh, I know Jayananda," said Prabhupada. "He gave me $5,000 to print my Bhagavad Gita." End of quote. Prabhupada's final letter to Jayananda, written after his disappearance in May 1977, is enclosed herewith. I don't have that here. But there is a letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote. Okay? Jai. Jayananda Prabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.